Today, I'm not going to be talking about Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. I'm not going to do it unless it comes up in conversation if you call it 465-6700. But you can hear that on another station. If you go to one of the other talk shows, you may hear a doctor and you may hear somebody talking about Barack Obama. What I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about something that was in the news. It was Jimmy Carter going to speak with some Hamas leaders. And so you hear a lot of people saying, oh, it's a horrible thing. And you don't really, you know, because Hamas is a bad guy. So what I'm actually going to do today is I'm going to talk about Hamas. I looked up Hamas. I looked up their origins. I did some homework. That's what I do before I come to this talk show is I do some homework. So it's kind of heady. It's kind of brain damaging. And my hope is that I'm going to be saying the things that need to be said to educate the listener who would be hearing things on the news or on talk radio and really not have a firsthand or even a secondhand knowledge of why things matter with regard to the topic. So I'll be talking about Jimmy Carter and his trip to visit the Hamas leaders and why that might be good, bad, or indifferent. I could have probably done some more research on the subject as it relates to federal law and how he should have been communicating and what the State Department's role is and all that kind of stuff. But we're not going to go there today just because there was only so many hours in the research ability that I had. Also, I noticed something in the news had to do with the fundamentalist Latter-day Saints in Texas and some of the developments there. Yeah, I think it's that whole story is very disturbing because there are allegations that if are true are just completely horrific and somebody needs to do something about it. If the people of that group are doing wicked, terrible, torturous things to their young people, the weakest members of their society, then somebody outside that group needs to intervene. On the flip side, if some of the accusations were made flippantly, arbitrarily, capriciously, and inaccurately to hurt the group and the children, with having the government all of a sudden taking children away from their parents, then that is horrific. And somebody needs to do something about it. So I'll probably be mentioning something about that today. Last week, I had a guest from the Answers in Genesis organization. He was a geologist. Somebody listened to our show and said, hey, David, it seemed like you had an agenda. So I had some feedback on how to deal with possibly the show, maybe asking questions I didn't know the answer to. The difficulty with having this show limited to being one day a week is that I have very limited time to get across some information, and my goal is to equip the listener, to give them information that they might not hear other places, and to give them information that is substantive. I have had people who have talked to me after a show, and they said they were listening, and they thought of a question. They were going to call. It just sparked something in their brain, and then all of a sudden, I said something else that told them, wait a minute. I want to hear this. I want to hear what he has to say. So they didn't call. Yeah, someday when I grow up, I'll learn to really be a talk show that drives listener commentary and things like that. We'll see how that works out. I would love it if you'd give me a call, 465-6700, because it keeps me on my toes. I listened to the July 12th show. The July 12th show of last year, 2007, is fabulous. It was the second show we did here on WPMH, and I listened to my shows to evaluate them. As people do here in the studio, they listen to things on TV and the radio or whatever, and they evaluate how somebody is performing, and just either for their own improvement or just for entertainment's sake. But the July 12th show is available on our website. It's www.faithfreedoms.net. And then, of course, we were responding to callers. The first show on July 5th, we got some callers, and that was our debut show. And we had to do a few sidesteps, backflips, and it was a good thing that we were extremely overprepared for those shows because the questions were quite innovative. They weren't something that I've ever heard anybody have to answer on the radio before. And my kids told me, they were listening to the show, and they said, when that guy, this one pastor asked a question, that my kids were like, wow, Dad's ready for this one. You know, it was just something that I happened to have done some study about that most people hadn't. So the July 5th show, but specifically July 12th, I listened to that. It was a lot of fun and it was very informative. What I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter was the president of the United States back in 1976 to 80, and just before the Reagan Revolution. He was post Ford. Ford was defeated by Jimmy Carter. Ford, of course, was the guy who was never elected to office. He was placed there as a vice president because Spiro Agnew had to go to jail because of tax evasion. And so then Ford was put into office as a vice president under Richard Nixon. And of course, Richard Nixon has little problem where it seems to me that people on his staff actually were out one night with nothing to do. They should have gone to Tommy's in East L.A. and had a burger at 2 o'clock in the morning. But no, they had nothing better to do at their time late at night and were a bit mischievous and actually committed burglary. And Richard Nixon knew something about it. And there's actually a case with Nixon's name on it that is quite good for people to quote, because the it had to do with separation of powers. And Nixon said, I don't have to turn anything over to you, the courts, because I am the executive department. I'm a separate branch and you have no jurisdiction. And the court ruled in that Nixon case that, oh, that is true, except for the fact that you have a rule about turning over things that are important for criminal investigations. And since you made that rule, you're bound to it and we can hold you accountable to your own rules. Very exciting for those of you who like that good, dry lawyer stuff. All this about Jimmy Carter. He was president. Now, one thing that happened in Jimmy Carter's time, it was a very interesting thing that Israel had had this amazing war with Egypt back in 1967. And if you're traveling, if you're in the Navy and you travel down the Suez Canal and you look to the east, you will see tanks that someday had been blown up and just left there. And so you can still see the remains of this six-day war that happened in 1967. Primary people were Syria, Israel, Egypt, I think Jordan as well. There was a whole lot of folks involved, and where Israel took over what had been before that called the West Bank of the Jordan. They took over the Gaza Strip in Gaza, which is right along the Mediterranean coast. They took also up in, boy, I'm getting confused now. I'm trying to think of the places right near the Sea of Galilee. And they took over these places where there were folks that were trying to fight Israel, and they won. Well, after that, Egypt and Israel were kind of hostile toward one another. And so after the Six-Day War, it was kind of amazing in during Carter's time, is he got Anwar Sadat and Menachem Begin to talk to one another, Egypt and Israel, the leaders of those two countries. And Carter arranged a peace discussion and came up with what they called the Camp David Accord. President Carter had, and it's amazing that I'm having to say this stuff, but because, you know, people may or may not be really aware of it or familiar with it. Because Carter had, he was actually nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize because of that Camp David Accord. So that there's some history behind getting Arabs and Jews to make a settlement, a peace agreement. And it was a very, it was somebody called in it, thank you, and gave me the word Golan Heights, the Golan Heights. Thank you very much. It's in the Bible. You can read about it in the Old Testament and New Testament. The tribe of Dan has some territory up there and stuff like that. So there's Old Testament history of the Israelites actually having property up there. And of course, the West Bank of the Jordan between the Jordan River and Jerusalem, that was historically in the Old Testament some of the promised land. So in the Six-Day War, you know, I guess what happened is Israel took over that. They call it the occupied territories because it was not part of the land of Israel back in the 1948-1949 settlements. But when we come back, what I'm going to do is talk about Carter's visit and why it's important, where he may have been a little bit naive. And we're actually going to talk about Hamas and what they've got in their charter that may have made Carter's visit possibly a little silly. We'll be back.
Are you looking for a good way to help others who are helping others? Let us advertise your favorite ministry organization, and your advertising gift will support our Faith and Freedom broadcast airtime costs at the same time. Come join us in our Give Unto Others advertising campaign. Contact us by phone at 757-850-1245 or by email at faithfrontier@verizon.net.
This Faith and Freedom broadcast is brought to you by Freedom Ministries. You can find out more about Freedom Ministries on the internet at www.faithfreedom.org or by calling 757-850-1245. I will choose to listen and believe the voice
of truth. What I wanted to do is talk about Carter. He went to talk to the Hamas leaders, and Hamas is an organization that started in the 1980s. It kind of goes back. The people who got it going are obviously were active in politics or religious politics and things like that prior to that. But Hamas is actually an acronym, and it's as an Islamic resistant movement. And what they want to do, let me just read some of the things that came right out of their covenant. They call it the Covenant of the Islamic Resistance Movement. Now, Carter was going to go talk to these leaders. They had recently, in the last couple of years, actually gotten some seats in their parliament of the Palestinian Authority, they call it. And it's a government that is in charge of keeping things, the governmental functions of those occupied territories. Let's see what it says. It says, the Prophet has said, the day of judgment will not come about until Muslims fight the Jews, killing the Jews. When the Jew will hide behind stones and trees, the stones and trees will say, O Muslims, O Abdullah, there is a Jew behind me, come and kill him. Only the Garkhad tree, evidently a certain kind of tree, I'm not sure what it is, would not do that because it is one of the trees of the Jews. Now, it's kind of I don't really understand that completely. But the first part of this, the day of judgment will not come about until Muslims fight the Jews. That's part of this organization's thinking. So when you went to go to visit Hamas, let's just think about what they think and what they believe. But then I'm going to go to some quotes right out of this covenant of Hamas that would show that Carter's visit was a little bit weird. It was a little bit challenging to some of the things they believe. It says that one of the things that they claim is that jihad is the path for Hamas, and death for the sake of Allah is the loftiest of his wishes. So some of the thinkings of Hamas. Hamas is involved in governmental function, and also they're doing some, I think they're probably doing a better job of taking care of the people's physical needs in the occupied territories than the Palestinian Authority has done to this point. I think the Palestinian Authority has kind of set itself up as legitimate to get outside governmental assistance. It's kind of thing we're doing in America. We try to appeal to the government for our assistance instead of taking care of one another. So I think Hamas, part of their plan has been to take care of themselves. And I think that is appropriate. And I think that's what we ought to be doing in each of our communities, is taking care of the needs of our community, physical needs. But one of the things that they are trying to do, and one of the things they're committed to, is eliminating Israel and to killing the Jews. And what's interesting in this covenant that I read, and you can find out about it, you can look it up on the internet, and it's the covenant of, let me back up here and see what the quote is so you can look at it. The Covenant of the Islamic Resistance Movement. And that's something you can look up and read for yourself. It's translated into English for your reading pleasure. So one thing that Hamas believes is that Islam is supposed to be the guiding path of all the affairs of life of their organization and everything they do. One of the things that it says in their covenant is that they pointed out that Egypt was to a great extent removed from the circle of the struggle, the thing that they think is going to make them recover their land and recover their status and authority and sovereignty of Islam over the land, is that they said that Egypt is no longer a partner with them because of what they called, and I'm going to quote, through the treacherous Camp David agreement. So Hamas, in their covenant, looked back to what Carter did back in the 70s and is actually against Egypt, particularly because of the Camp David agreement, or what is known as the Camp David Accord. And it says here in this Hamas covenant that they are trying to draw other Arab countries into similar agreements and bring them outside the circle of their struggle.